We stopped to rest for a few moments under the tree where the careers trapped me, the husk of the tracker-jacker nest beaten to a pulp by the heavy rains and dried in the burning sun, confirms the location. I touch it with the tip of my boot, and it dissolves into dust that is quickly carried off by the breeze. I can't help looking up in the tree where Rue secretly perched, waiting to save my life. Tracker-jackers, Glimmer's bloated body, the terrifying hallucinations. "Let's move on," I say, wanting to escape the darkness that surrounds this place. Peeta doesn't object. Given our late start to the day, when we reach the plain, it's already early evening. There's no sign of Cato, no sign of anything, except the gold cornucopia glowing in the slanting sun rays. Just in case Cato decided to pull a fox face on us, we circle the cornucopia to make sure it's empty. Then, obediently, as if following instructions, we cross to the lake and fill our water containers. I frown at the shrinking sun. We don't want to fight him after dark. There's only the one pair of glasses. Peeta carefully squeezes drops of iodine into the water.
Maybe that's what he's waiting for. What do you want to do? Go back to the cave?
Either that or find a tree. But let's give him another half an hour or so. Then we'll take cover, I answer. We sit by the lake in full sight. There's no point in hiding now. In the trees at the edge of the plain, I can see the mockingjays flitting about, bouncing melodies back and forth between them like brightly colored balls. I open my mouth and sing out Rue's four-note run. I can feel them pause curiously at the sound of my voice, listening for more. I repeat the notes in the silence. First one mockingjay trills the tune back, then another. Then the whole world comes alive with the sound.
"Just like your father," says Peeta.
My fingers find the pin on my shirt. "That's Rue's song," I say. "I think they remember it." The music swells, and I recognize the brilliance of it. As the notes overlap, they complement one another, forming a lovely, unearthly harmony. It was this sound then, thanks to Rue, that sent the orchard workers of District 11 home each night. Does someone start it at quitting time, I wonder, now that she is dead? For a while, I just close my eyes and listen, mesmerized by the beauty of the song. Then something begins to disrupt the music. Runs cut off in jagged, imperfect lines. Dissonant notes intersperse with the melody. The mockingjays' voices rise up in a shrieking cry of alarm. We're on our feet, Peeta wielding his knife, me poised to shoot, when Cato smashes through the trees and bears down on us. He has no spear. In fact, his hands are empty, yet he runs straight for us. My first arrow hits his chest and inexplicably falls aside. "He's got some kind of body armor," I shout to Peeta. Just in time, too, because Cato is upon us. I brace myself, but he rockets right between us with no attempt to check his speed. I can tell from his panting, the sweat pouring off his purplish face, that he's been running hard a long time, not toward us, from something. But what? My eyes scan the woods just in time to see the first creature leap onto the plain. As I'm running away, I see another half dozen join it. Then I am stumbling blindly after Cato with no thought of anything but to save myself.